Listen to Mrs. Waite speak from her heart to your need. Pause a moment and care. Just for Women is an unusual broadcast for women in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Yvonne Waite deals biblically with the many issues facing women today. The Bible tells the older women to speak the things which become sound doctrine, and teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Listen now to Mrs. Waite speaking just for women.
Hi, girls. Here in this world perplexed and tried, can we keep sweet and satisfied? So many things to do in the heart and tries the heart. So many worries seem to start. Yet we can conquer all its kind if we but give God our mind. In every way, through every day, in every climb and all the time, in every test, through every care, from Satan's darts and wicked snare, yes, we can hold to any length if we but yield to God our strength. We're talking about marriage. As I told you in the last program, it's been a while since I talked about marriage. And I used to teach what was called husband-loving lessons. And during the time that I taught them, I would go to different homes or churches and we'd have women come. And there would be a real, real revival in their marriage of love, because the women were doing what God told them to do. It's so easy to forget what our job is. Our job is to be a responder to our husbands, and we forget. In this day where women have taken on such responsibilities, they've gone out and worked, and they're the breadwinners, and people can't seem to afford their house or their cars unless both men and women work. I'm talking about families where the husband is able to work. Some husbands are not well, and so the wife has to work. But so many women have taken on these responsibilities that they forget that their job is to respond to their husbands. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husband. They forget that the submissiveness of a wife is a beautiful thing, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of their wives. We want our husbands, our husbands are unsaved, to be won by us. And then we who are Christians, we should be shamed, because we say, well, our husband's a Christian, so I don't have to live this kind of life before him. That's not true at all. But some of us are that way. We forget that we should be like Christ in the home. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, they will be won by the way you live. Conversation here means by the way you live. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on apparel. That's not the main adorning. The adorning, we should have the Christ adorning. We should put on Christ. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, the hidden woman of the heart, in that which is not corruptible. You see, our outer selves are going to get old. I'm getting old. Every day I can see myself getting older. And so can you. And we, if we're counting on how we look, if we're counting on our cute bodies, if we're counting on our sexy clothes and all that, that's not going to last forever. It's the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit in your heart. And this is what your husband fell in love with. You know, the outside can only last so long. It's the inside that counts, in being in subjection unto your own husband. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Now, I was reading from a blessing that I wrote from my Bible reading. It was from 1 Peter 3:8. That's the section I've been reading to you from the Bible. And we talked about women and how it's their privilege to live as a good Christian wife before their husbands and in their homes. Husbands are not overlooked in this passage. Usually I don't talk to husbands, but I feel that I have to right now because of special reasons. Husbands are not overlooked in this passage either. They are to live with their wives according to knowledge. 1 Peter 3:7 to 9, according to knowledge. They're supposed to know something about a woman. You just don't go marry a woman when you don't understand anything about a woman. And if you don't understand your wife, you should learn. Don't yell at her because you don't understand her. You married a man. Wife, you married a man. Husband, you married a woman. And the two are so different. What exactly does that mean, to live according to knowledge? I think it means that husbands should learn that women are a different kind of people than men. Yes, there is much learning that a new husband must learn in order to be a good husband. I think that is why the young men in the Old Testament were not to go to war during their first year of marriage. I think this is so interesting, and when I read this as a married woman, I thought, this is the problem with so many marriages. You get married, and right away you go off to college. My husband and I, we went right to seminary in Dallas. He went to seminary, and I went right to work to support us. And we had so many learning experiences that were bad because we didn't know how to be husband and wife. We had never been a husband and wife before. So there is much learning that a new husband must learn in order to be a good husband. I think that is why the young men in the Old Testament were not to go to war during their first year of marriage. Deuteronomy 24:5 says, "When a man has taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war, neither shall he be charged with any business, but he shall be free at home 1 year, and shall cheer up his wife which he has taken." Notice the husband is to cheer up his wife. Nothing is said about the wife cheering up her husband. In other words, the husband is supposed to do everything in his power to make his wife happy during that first fundamental basic year of the marriage. So many lifelong marriage problems could be avoided if in the new marriage the husband would be concerned with cheering up his wife and not the other way around. If two people who are used to being coddled by their parents, maybe, if you're especially young, or two people, if you're older and you're successful in your work and business and everybody thinks you're wonderful, and then two people get together and then they try to share the same bathroom and the same coffee cup and the same space, the same closet, and all the different things, is very difficult. And I take it, when God had these young men in Deuteronomy, in the time of Moses, stay away from war, and that's what they did when they went into Canaan, and Joshua and all them, to capture Canaan. They didn't go to war if they were just newly married. They stayed home and cheered up their wife. And if you have a wife that cheered up, you have a happy home. Believe me, you have a happy home. Often because, let's see, where did I leave? She should cheer up his wife. Nothing is said about the wife cheering up her husband. In other words, the husband is supposed to do everything in his power. I know I read this before, but I think it's worth reading again. To make his wife happy during that first fundamental basic year of the marriage. So many lifelong marriage problems could be avoided if in the new marriage, the husband would be concerned with cheering up his wife and not the other way around. Often because the new husband thinks he must establish himself as the head of the house, he harms their early marriage with ruling. Thus, the man disregards the young wife's feelings by bossing her around. He so much wants to be the head of the house that he hurts his wife, and she doesn't yield to him because he's so very bossy. He's hurting her. So he's doing it the wrong way, absolutely the wrong way. He should gain his wife by sweetness and candy. I don't mean candy, but sweetness, you know. More flies are caught by honey than by vinegar. And so being nicer to the wife and understanding so many things about her. He must always remember that God made her to be the weaker vessel. Now, when we say the weaker vessel, we don't mean inferior. We mean just a weaker person. You can have a silver pitcher, and it can be very beautiful, but you have to be very careful with it, don't you? Otherwise, you could have some big old crock, strong thing that nothing could hurt. The man is like that big old strong pitcher that nothing could hurt. And the wife is like a beautiful china pitcher. You have to be careful of her. And a wife, a husband should learn that. But sometimes he doesn't know that. And it's too bad that many, many years of marriage go by before a husband realizes this sometime. If only this could be learned right away in the beginning, there would be less marriage problems and less divorces. So, the husband must always remember that God made her, his wife, to be the weaker vessel. She had left everything to be with this man of her dreams. Suddenly, he has become the cruel potentate instead of the wooing suitor of the pre-marriage days. I remember saying to my husband, "Why did you marry me? Why did you marry me if you didn't like this or that? I couldn't figure it out. Why he wanted me so bad and then he got me. And then he didn't like what he got. Sometimes. And I suppose I was very difficult. But I wasn't trying to be difficult. I was just me. And he wasn't trying to be difficult. He was just he. Dwelling with a wife according to knowledge is a big assignment. The happiness and contentment of the marriage depends on that first year. A married couple should be like-minded, or as Peter puts it, of one mind. The marriage license should not end compassion or courteousness for one another. Some married people treat strangers better than their own mates. A Christian couple should never forget that they are brothers and sisters in Christ. They should not render evil for evil or be bitter or abusive toward one another. There should be no deceit or defrauding in a Christian marriage, sexually or otherwise. There should be no deceiving or secrets. If so, how can their prayers ever be answered? Likewise, the Bible says here in verse 7 of 1 Peter 3, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Maybe your prayers are hindered as a married couple because you're not living right together. The husband must treat you as the weaker vessel with kindness, and you must be courteous and kind to your husband. None of this sharpness. It's very easy to be sharp and bitter towards your husband. And you say, well, can't I be myself? Yes, you can be yourself. And if you find yourself being unkind, then you should apologize. You would apologize to someone else. Why shouldn't you apologize to your husband? I remember a wife saying, my husband never apologizes. He just apologizes in other ways, but he never apologizes. Why can't we apologize with our mouth, and as well as other ways? Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren and sisters. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Not rending evil for evil. This is talking about marriage. Or railing for railing. But contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. This is talking about marriage. Did you ever know that Peter, of course we know he had a wife because his mother-in-law was sick. Jesus healed the mother-in-law. And so he knew something about marriage. So will you think about these things in every way, through every day, in every climb, and all the time, in every test, through every care from Satan, darts, and wicked snares? Yes, we can hold to any length if we but yield to God our strength. Remember this, won't you?
You have been listening to Just for Women with Yvonne Waite, sponsored by the Bible for Today Baptist Church in Collingswood, New Jersey. We invite you to visit our church Sundays at 10 a.m. and Thursdays at 8 p.m. If you need more information about our church, our broadcast, or our Savior, please call us toll-free 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Email bft@bibleforToday.org. The organist and pianist is Mr. Dick Carroll. Your announcer has been Dr. D.A. Waite, pastor of the Bible for Today Baptist Church. We invite all you ladies to join us next week, same time, same station, to hear Yvonne Waite and Just for Women.
I'm under God's care, are you?